If you want to see a revival in our country, if you are disturbed like I am about the secularization of our society, about how we in America have wanted to take God out of the equation and do it on our own, then get on your knees and pray. Pray for your communities. Pray for your families. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for your friends. Pray for our state. Pray for our nation. Pray for people all around the world that they would hear the gospel and turn their lives to Jesus Christ. Because that's where the real power of the gospel is. I want to talk about this text from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I might declare it boldly as I ought to speak." We need to be prepared for the attacks of the evil one. And I'm going to tell you right now, we are in a spiritual war. When I'm talking about spiritual warfare, I'm talking about, it's not that being a faithful follower of Christ will make your life good. Let me stress that right now. Let me tell you right now that anybody who promises you that if you follow Jesus Christ, that your life is going to be all peaches and cream and roses and nothing bad will ever happen to you, that is a lie. Because again, we are in a spiritual battle. And the evil one does not want us to give our lives to Christ. And if we do give our lives to Christ, he wants us to take our lives back. So Paul writes about this full armor of God. And he's talking about these very things. He's talking about, he says in verse 12, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." And then he says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." We're in a spiritual battle, and we don't need physical armor for a spiritual battle. I'm actually going to do these a little bit out of order, because he starts with the belt of truth, but I'm going to start with the breastplate of righteousness. He says, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." So the Roman soldier has a breastplate. What does the breastplate guard? It guards your heart. Righteousness is our breastplate. Righteousness is what guards our heart. Righteousness is what keeps us from straying from the love of God. In order to guard our heart, we need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. The next thing he says in the next verse is he says, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. What Paul says is that the shoes that protect your feet everywhere that you go are the shoes of the readiness given by the gospel of peace. The shoes of the gospel of peace, they guard our feet wherever they carry us. The next thing that Paul says is, in all circumstances, he says, take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, what does a helmet protect? A helmet protects your head. In other words, our salvation in Christ Jesus guards our minds. It guards what we think, so that thoughts don't come into our mind that are not of God. Then there is nothing that we think can't be done. So when we have the helmet of our salvation upon our head, guarding our thoughts, guarding our minds, then nothing seems impossible for us anymore. And we go ahead in faith and knowing that God goes before us, understanding that if God would send His Son to the cross for us, for our sakes, then there is nothing that He wouldn't do. We must believe in God's saving power. That way, when things look insurmountable and when we think that we can't do something, we know in our heads that we can, because God goes with us. So the helmet of salvation, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the breastplate of righteousness, and now we come to the shield of faith. He says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Now, one of the common tactics in battle in the time of Paul was for all the archers. And now, when you were an archer, you weren't necessarily an archer because you were accurate. You were an archer because you could pull the bow back. That was all you really had to do. Because your army would get a bunch of archers all together, and you would all draw back and you would let it fly, and it would fly like a cloud. The arrows would come down upon the enemy. It was a frightful thing. But even more frightful was what they would do to the arrows. They would dip them in pitch and set them on fire. So imagine if you are the enemy and all of a sudden you see a rain of fire coming at you. Well, what are you going to think? Wow, I'm really in a tight spot here, you know? I'm done. My goose is cooked. Unless you had that shield of faith. And I'm talking about the shield. What the Roman soldiers used to do is they had a wooden shield. What good's a wooden shield against fire? Well, wooden shield, what they would do is they would soak the wooden shield in water. They would soak the wooden shield in water. And when they saw that rain of fire coming, they would put up their shield and the flaming darts would hit the shield and go out. Those flaming darts are the things that the evil one sends against us. That's all he's got. All he's got is flaming darts. They're like those little mosquitoes that just won't leave you alone. Have you ever walked into a cloud of gnats and you're just like, ugh, you know, like that? That's what his attacks are like. Except they're these flaming darts and they're coming at us. And without the shield of faith, we're helpless against those things. We look up and we see the rain of fire coming down and we think, I'm done. I can't do this. But if you have the shield of faith, knowing that God can do all things and will do all things for the faithful. You raise that shield and extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul writes, "But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Okay, so he said, I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. When he didn't believe, he was against the Christian church. He was a persecutor of the Christian church. But he says, I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. It was when he put up the shield of faith, he says, the grace of the Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he writes about this thorn in his side. He said, "So, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, Paul says, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Think about those things that he just mentioned. Weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. These are the flaming darts of the evil one that come against us. And when we see that rain of fire, we put up that shield of faith, and those darts just go right on out. We don't worry about those things anymore. When we have faith and we believe that God can do all things and will do all things, then we no longer fear any of the attacks of the evil one. Okay, so we've gone through four of the five pieces of armor: the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. Now, I skipped the first one. It's the belt of truth. He says, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." Now, why did I save that one for the last? When the Roman soldier put on all of his armor, the very last thing that he would put on was the belt. The belt was what held everything together. It held everything together. The belt of truth holds everything together. We can rely on the truth of God. We can rely on the reliability of His holy word and know that it is true. And once we understand that it is true, then everything else comes together. Our salvation, our righteousness, our faith, and our gospel all comes together with the truth of God. In John chapter 8, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, "If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So the belt of truth holds everything together. The breastplate over our heart, the helmet on our head, the belt holding everything together, the shoes of the gospel on our feet, and the shield of faith to extinguish the darts. But that's only five of the six things. Because the sixth thing is the only offensive weapon that we have. He says, "The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." The Word of God. The very Word of God. We have to stand on something. How does God speak to us today? He speaks to us through His holy Word. Now, the Bible, I've heard so many times say, "Well, why would I want to read a book that's like 2,000 years old? How long is 2,000 years in eternity?" You know, for this book to have existed for 2,000 years is nothing for an eternal God. And so, here we hear that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. You know, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, how did He combat the evil one? Jesus was led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. And the tempter, we are told, came and said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But He answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." He used Scripture to combat the temptation of the devil. Then the devil took Him to the holy city and set Him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written..." Here the devil is now trying to use Scripture against Him. "He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Of course, he paraphrased. He didn't use the full quote, which also includes, he will command his angels concerning you on the way, on the way. Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and were ministering to him. So, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Word of God. The Scriptures that we have, they instruct us. If we follow the Word of God, and Jesus Himself was called also the Word of God. We're told in John chapter 1 that the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So, what do we do with this? Again, we're not in a physical battle. Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not a physical battle. He says, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, he says, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. So we have this armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Then he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. This is probably the most important piece. We need to be in prayer. If we're in a spiritual battle, we need to be in prayer. We need to be in constant contact with our God. He says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. So, let me encourage you to do this, okay? Pray. Pray to God. Pray to God for your pastors. Pray to God for all the pastors who come here to the camp meeting. Pray to God for pastors, whoever takes the word, the gospel, to the people, whoever proclaims the word of God. Pray. Pray. I will tell you, there is not one pastor in this world who will tell you not to pray for them. I want you to pray for me. Pray for me that my ministry may continue to grow. Not because of me, not because of what I do, not because of the words that I say, but the words that God uses through me to reach people. I will tell you that in my ministry in the past 4 years, and I've only been a pastor for 4 years, but in the past 4 years, I have seen so many lives transformed and touched. Things that happened out of the blue that I know could not have happened if it weren't for the bathing of the churches in prayer. I pray every single day for my churches, for my congregations. I pray for the people of my congregation by name every single day on my knees. And it was as a result of that prayer. I remember this past January, we were doing the reaffirmation of the baptismal covenant in our church, which we do every year. And for whatever reason, as I was standing up there and looking around at all these faces of people who had been coming to church for decades, I all of a sudden said to myself, I need to ask a question. And so I asked the question. The question was, is there anybody here who has never been baptized? And wouldn't you know it, a hand went up. This woman who had been coming to this church for 20 years, and she had never been baptized. And so I called her up. I said, do you want to be baptized now? She said, yes. And so she was baptized right there on the spot. I'm telling you right now, I had chills because I knew that that was God working. That was God working. That's not me. And it's only because of prayer. So I'm asking you to pray. Pray for your pastors. If you want to see a revival in our country, if you are disturbed like I am about the secularization of our society, about how we in America have wanted to take God out of the equation and do it on our own, then get on your knees and pray. Pray for your communities. Pray for your families. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for your friends. Pray for our state. Pray for our nation. Pray for people all around the world that they would hear the gospel and turn their lives to Jesus Christ. Because that's where the real power of the gospel is. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of salvation. It is the power of salvation. And what an amazing thing that God, who we turned our backs on, remember. And in Romans chapter 5, we read that God demonstrates His love to us in this, that while we were yet sinners, before we got our acts together, He says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the love of God. That's how much God loves us. God loves us because we are His creation. We are made in His image. And so, I want to tell you that, you know, I sat in church for 18, 19 years of my life and never really got it. I never really gave my life over to Christ. I was baptized as an infant and I was raised in the church, but I never really got it. And why? I don't know. I just wasn't ready. It wasn't until I was 38 years old that I turned my life to God. This woman in my church, she's 60 years old. She'd never been baptized. She can't say that anymore. She's been baptized. She was baptized by me. You know? She was baptized in the Holy Spirit on that day. What an amazing event. So I'm going to ask right now, not have you never been baptized, because I'm not prepared to baptize anybody today. But I'm going to tell you right now, think about your relationship with God. Do you have on the helmet of salvation? Do you really know what Christ did for you on the cross? That we were born in sin. That we were born in sin and destined for hell. That is our lot in life. And yet, God took His own Son and hung Him on that cross. It pleased God, Isaiah says, it pleased God to crush Him. Why? Because in Him was our righteousness fulfilled. In Jesus was all of God's justice satisfied. So if you're sitting here tonight and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you that there's no better time than right now. Because you don't know what's going to happen after you leave this place. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen next week. There was a girl, I hate to say it, but there was a girl driving her car in the Philadelphia area just this past week who was shot in the head. She didn't get up that morning and say that she was going to die. She had no idea. We never know when something's going to happen. And how many times have we said, you know, oh, did you hear that so-and-so died? Wow, where did that come from? You know, we never know. So if you're waiting for the right time is now. Okay? And in a moment, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And if you have never given your life to Christ, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that tonight. And get yourself right with Christ and with God right now. So let's close our eyes and let's put our hands together and let's lift our voices to God. You see, Lord God, we thank You for the faith of those who have come before us. For over 2,000 years, Lord, Your gospel has been proclaimed. We are so grateful, Lord, that the first disciples listened to Jesus when He said, go and make disciples of all nations. Because if they didn't listen to You, Lord, then we wouldn't be here tonight. And we've heard these words today, these words of Paul. Paul, who was a persecutor of Christians, and yet You were able, Lord, to strike him down with Your light from heaven, and You were able to make him into a new creation. And You made him, he was Saul, and then he became Paul. And not only Paul, but Paul, who wrote 13 of the books of the New Testament. We are so blessed to have his writings. And we are so blessed that we could receive this teaching today from the book of Ephesians. so blessed, Lord, that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm going to issue an invitation tonight for anybody who may be sitting here who has never given their lives to you. Or maybe, Lord, they've been wandering, they've been falling away from you, and they need to be renewed in your Spirit. And if there's anybody here tonight who is feeling that way, that they have drifted away from God, they need to understand, Lord, that you haven't abandoned them, and you never will. And so I pray, Lord, that they would lift up their voices in this prayer. Speak these words from your heart. They're just words, but they need to come from your heart. Say, Lord, I am a sinner, and I'm not worthy of your love. But I know that Jesus Christ gave his life for me. And I know that I was doomed until Jesus carried my sins to the cross. I know that Jesus paid a debt that he didn't owe, because I owed a debt that I couldn't pay. And so, right here and right now, Lord, I give my life, my all, to you, to do with as you will. In this moment, Lord, I am giving you my life because I know you love me, and I trust in you, and I have faith that you will never lead me astray. And so I invite you into my life, into my heart, to dwell, to grow me more and more in your image, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, to be my God, to be my friend and comforter. All these things I pray in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Friends, if you prayed that prayer tonight from your heart, I want you to know that God has heard your prayer, and he has forgiven you. And from here on out, you no longer have to worry about where you're going, about what's going to happen to you after you die. But you will know for sure that you will be with him in the heavenly realms.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pettertown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. Now, if our message today has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? And consider sharing it on the social media platform of your choice. You can also access this podcast through the Podbean app on Android or on iTunes. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep listening, keep growing, and I pray that God will continue to bless you in your journey of faith. Amen.